Books. Here, permission to record it. Hi, Bart, I didn't say hi to you. Welcome. Okay, so, moving on to consent agenda items. I did say here, permission to record. ACR routine recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? No? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
That was Stephanie and Bart. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. On to matters from the public. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And I will take that as a no. So we will then move to election of president and vice president. Lisa Shepherd is board secretary. We'll conduct the election for the board president and then vice president.
Excellent. As board secretary, it is my pleasure to open nominations for president of the board. Are there any nominations for president?
Yes, Lisa Brooks.
Give me a second.
Yes.
Anybody else with any other nominations? All right, hearing no further nominations, the nominations for president are closed. Roll call. Vote approving Lisa Brooks as Park Board President. We have to do a roll call, so Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Motion passes. As Board Secretary, it is my pleasure to open nominations for Vice President of the Board. Are there any nominations for Vice President?
Yes, I nominate Stephanie Boren.
Any other nominations? Oh, any second? Bart, second. Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, the nominations for Vice President are closed. I'm going to do a roll call approving Stephanie Boren as Park Board Vice President. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
And congratulations to our President and Vice President of the Board of Commissioners. Okay, now we go on to, I'll turn it back over to Lisa.
All righty, appointment of officers and representatives. And thank you, Commissioners, by the way, for making this such a smooth process this year. It was terrific. The new president, which would be me, will entertain a motion. I move to appoint Michael Covey as treasurer, Robert Bush of Ansel Blink as attorney and ethics officer, Lisa M. Shepherd as secretary to the board, executive director, Carol Spain as representative to the Glencoe Plan Commission, Lisa M. Shepherd and Jennifer L. Runkle as Freedom of Information Act officers, and Lisa Brooks as representative to the Glencoe Sustainability Committee.
Roll call. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. On to board committee appointments. I will announce the appointments as follows. Finance Committee of the Whole, Chair Michael Covey. Special Projects and Facilities Committee of the Whole, Chair Lisa Brooks. Personnel and Policy Committee of the Whole, Chair Bart Schneider. Moving on to Board Advisory Group Chair appointments, I will announce the following appointments. Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Advisory Committee Chair Bart Schneider. Watts Advisory Group Chair Michael Covey. Early Childhood Advisory Group Chair Stephanie Boren. NSSRA, the liaison, Lisa Shepherd, Executive Director. So, that little bit of housekeeping is done. Moving on to financial reports. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. John will provide a synopsis of the reports.
All right. Thank you, President Brooks. Good evening, everyone.
So as we go over the results through April 30 of this fiscal year, again, kind of one thing that'll jump out at you as we look at the rec department, a pretty substantial increase in revenue from the prior year, $1,911,000 compared to $1,508,000. And then really, as you drill down into the detail there, it just shows that we're just doing more programming. There's no one specific program that's really contributing to that. It's really just a group of camps and recreational programming that's really pushing that number over where it was last year. So certainly increased activity as we continue to hopefully get out of the pandemic entirely at some point. We will see that the recreation department's contractual expenditures are much less than the prior year, to the tune of about $200,000. And really all that is a timing difference with when the GJK contractual payments are made. So we see that we have $278,000 in the prior year compared to $78,000. This year, and that's indicated by tick mark A, that you know, you have the timing issue there with the GJK payment. On May 4, we did pay that, make that payment to the tune of $233,000. Children's Circle Department, revenue slightly lower than in the prior year, pretty comparable though. And from an expense perspective, a little behind, again, a timing issue there. The health insurance, we only have 1 month in, even though we're 2 months in, we're gonna have 2 months of health insurance expense paid in May, so that'll catch itself up next month. Fitness department is still turning profit, which is good to see. $2,806 excess deficiency, or excess revenue over expenditures, I should say. Beach department, so of course backed off from prior year as we expected in terms of pass sales, but still off to a very strong start, and then we'll see kind of where we wound up in May, as a lot of that came in obviously in May also, so we can kind of assess it all as a whole when we meet in June. As far as the boating department, the revenues again a little lower than prior year. Really looks to be another timing issue. We have a few more outstanding accounts receivable this year, which we certainly anticipate collecting shortly. Watts, not too much to speak to. For the G&A department, just a reminder that we're directly allocating the health insurance premiums this year, so that's going to lag behind what was posted in the prior years as a result of the direct allocation there on the health insurance. Parks, not too much to speak to, slightly below in terms of expenditures from the prior year. And then we see approximately $145,000 difference for revenue in the rec admin take-it fund. And that's basically property tax revenue, about $135,000, where our property taxes are outpacing last year, up to this point by about $135,000. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have on the financial report.
Is that a rate or a volume increase on property tax?
It's more of a rate increase. So the rate increase went to 0.486, I believe. I'd have to double check that. But EAV increased only slightly in 2020 EAV. It increased from $945 million to $950 million. So. Primarily rate increase. Of course, we're capped by 5% or CPI, so this year we're working on a 2.3% increase. But really, Michael, the difference in that we're referring to is really just the timing on the collection. So they were delayed in the prior year, still kind of lagging behind due to COVID. So that's really the main reason. So it's not like we're far and above from prior year. It's more just a timing issue again.
That's right. I recall sending my taxes in the last possible day, which was like 3 months. I think it was like 364 months. Pay them, right? During COVID.
Yeah, they did extend. I believe that Cook County was 2 months. I believe for sure. Might have been a little more than that.
Got it. So that is literally just a timing issue.
Pretty much. A slight bump from last year to the tune of about 2 to 3%.
Yeah, you have 30% difference year over year.
Right.
Three of those. turning points are timing.
Yeah, timing, exactly.
Thank you, John. Any other questions?
What about work avenue? What are our expenses there aside from staff? Are we paying rentals on that equipment?
For the fitness center?
Bobby, can you answer that?
Yeah, there's no capital payments or anything like that, although there's the odd item. A portion of Adam's salary comes out of there, but the overall expenses are pretty low. There's a portion of the take-up attendance, the fitness attendant that comes out of there. But we run it very lean.
Yeah, about
55. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a each of those pounds on bikes is about $450 a year in subscriptions. So there's some of those types of items. We also have a couple $1,000s a year in preventative maintenance, which we do. But the $100,000 and $110,000 initial capital outlay doesn't come out of that budget.
Yeah, of the $5,785 reported in the financial report, about $5,500 of that is salary related.
Great. Any other questions?
None from John. Thank you, John. Okay. So we will then move to our executive director report, Lisa Shepherd. Review items and for report for us.
Great. I just want to note for the early childhood department, COVID is alive and well, and we are having some frustrating struggles in that area because of the children are unvaccinated. We have to follow we are following the CDC's recommendation of how long they have to stay out of the program if a child in their classroom contracts a COVID. So that has resulted in classroom closures over the last 2 weeks. I think, right, Bobby, every class has been closed?
But that's just three classes closed with children not able to come back. Some have had exclusions because some of the older classes have vaccinated individuals. So the blue class has had individuals quarantined, but the whole class has not closed. But as of right now, two are fully closed. One of them is coming back tomorrow. As most people know, today we have to send home another group that's not able to be masked, so they're on a 10-day course.
So we continue to follow the CDC and DCFS recommendations until I hear differently if the board ever wants to bring that up for discussion. But that's what we continue to follow. You know, as I tell the parents, they're the medical experts and not me or my staff. So there is also a group of people that want to bring masks back to the early childhood wing. There's an equally strong group that does not want to bring it back. So we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And with Jessica and her coordinators and Bobby taking the brunt of the angry parent calls and such. So we'll just keep plugging along. We did, Bobby just told me he had a discussion with other districts. They're following the same guidance as CDC. So we're pretty much doing the same thing other daycares are also doing. There is hopefully going to be some change once the children are eligible for vaccinations, which we heard is June or July. So, we'll still have issues because it only applies to kids that are vaccinated that can stay in the classroom and things like that. So, we'll just keep on plugging away. But as the world opens more and more, we're seeing more children exposed to COVID. So, it's frustrating for everybody, but I think that's the course of action we should continue. John, do you want to talk about cybersecurity training?
Yeah, so we did assign all staff with user profiles and emails, both of those items, cybersecurity training through Poderma. Very good response rate and completion rate by staff. There's maybe one or two outstanding at this point, so we're going to follow up with those folks and make sure that they get the training necessary there on cybersecurity risks. We did also have our risk management review kickoff meeting with Poderma, and our risk management representative actually commented that we were pretty far along with some of our cybersecurity requirements when compared to some of our peer districts. So that was certainly good to hear. But nonetheless, we're staying on top of it as much as possible. We actually did just do a phishing campaign, so basically sending an email that you shouldn't click on to all of our staff and seeing, you know, what type of responses we get. And identified some opportunities for training there, so just continuing to try to stay on top of the cybersecurity risks as they continue to evolve and use whatever tools we have with Poderma and working with Xcal to help fill in any gaps there.
Thank you. Erin's been working on, inside Glencoe went out May 6th, but she also worked on a new, magazine. It's kind of like this State of the Park District. It took a number of different key pieces from a number of different documents. So it was our strategic plan, our master plan, our budget, our So You Want to Be a Commissioner magazine, kind of put it all into one little handy, beautiful document, which I'll get to your houses within the next week or so, that we'll be handling. We put it in the lobby, we'll be handing out to any potential commissioners that want to run and to the caucus. It was a goal of ours to kind of put all the key information into one document, and we just kind of, Erin did a great job rushing that document so that we could get it out to the public sooner rather than later. So we're very happy with that piece. Summer staff training started, so we had our big all staff training last Thursday. It was great to be back in person. It was we haven't been back in person with that large of a group in a while. Great training on all the basics, all the requirements that we're required to do, such as sexual harassment, and touched on a lot of different things, and made it a little fun too. In addition to that, Bob, you want to go over a little bit of the different trainings that the lifeguards and day camp counselors will be going through?
Sure. So we've completed a significant amount of the beach trainings. Those range from in-pool training at Northbrook Pool through in-water at Glencoe Beach, where the guards will go through exercises and simulations of drownings and CPR. This is a pretty significant amount of training goes in for those lifeguards, in addition to also going through the Red Cross lifeguards waterfront certification process, which they all go through. And we also did significant leadership training with our managers, assistant managers for camp and beach staff on partnership policies, dealing with COVID, dealing with accidents, incidents, reporting, and other leadership training. We also did beach operations training for cashiers, our cart drivers. We did a boat operation training for all of our boat guards. And we're also going to be doing some powerboat training here next week for all of our new boat guards. Our camp-specific trainings start next week as well for different age groups, from preschool all the way through to our kind of preteen camps with Action Quest and CIT. So we're going to have a lot of people in the building next week, and they'll be doing a lot of great activities and team building and prep to get ready for a fun camp season. We're also going to be having our speaker come back and doing some check-ins. We have a camp speaker who's going to come back and kind of do some observations and kind of get everybody energized in that time in July when the energy's kind of those long days with the heat, so we can give some valid feedback to our teams.
Perfect. I'd like to ask the board to take a look at all of our summer special events that we have to offer the community, especially our new concert series. Well, brought back our popular concert series to Kauf Park. So it's always nice when boards out there supporting or saying hi to the public and supporting staff. So if you make any of those, that would be great. So I'm not going to name all of them because there's a lot, but please take note of those.
I know I should, but
I have some to do the same thing for mine.
you have full freedom to invite me to
does the rest of the board want those updates also, or, yeah?
Maybe, yeah, just...
You know, we say tentative. That's what I do is I get them all on my calendar and I say tentative, and if I want to show up, then I show up, but I don't, you know, promise anything, so.
How did the first beach music event go? Because that was moved to Monday, right? And I went on Saturday. I knew it was moved, but it went on Saturday, and I hope to go to the next one, the music and food truck.
I was on day 10, so I'm allowed out.
The beach was crowded, clean. Bobby, it shocks me you're having a hiring issue because I think I saw every 13 to 17 year old in Glen Hill was down there working yesterday, but I realized it was only day one, so probably a friend did it. It was pretty successful. It was really good at the park district, at the truck. The only one thing I would note is, and it's not our fault, and this is not something that we can do, but it would be awesome if we made some styrofoam to serve it in, but the food in, but that's just kind of alcohol and stuff like that, so I get it. But I thought, and everyone thinks it's perfect, perfect.
Thank you for the feedback, that's great. Kyle, do you want to give updates on the projects that are going on immediately?
Sure. Just a couple quick updates on projects. The pier project is in the final stages of completion. We are down to just needing to antique and seal the stamped concrete. We had the window last week in the antique. However, there were some imperfections that we wanted to make sure were corrected. Once we seal that concrete, that's pretty much that. So contractors should be back on site this week to complete those corrections and touch-ups of the antiquing and then sealing. And then after that, we'd be pretty much down to just installing the benches and picnic tables, which would take about a day, and then the painting of the railings after that. So timeline got backed up a little bit here with weather and just wanting to make sure it was done, you know, to our liking before it was sealed and walked away from. But we're getting close. We are fighting the seagulls. So if anybody notices some owls out there, we tried some deterrents to try to keep the seagulls away for these final stages. Just some different measures to try to keep them off that pier because it'll be difficult to stain and seal if seagulls are ever present. So we're doing everything we can to make that happen as smoothly as possible, but hopefully it'll be completed here in the next week. Other project coming down the pipeline pretty quick here is the Community Hall audio and visual project, working with Sentinel on that. We should be going out to bid this Thursday. There'll be a non-mandatory pre-bid walkthrough next Wednesday, June 8th, and then we're looking at a bid opening of June 13th. So hoping that one comes back and get that rolling here in the near future. That's pretty much it for the big projects. Other things, we had the Memorial Day event yesterday, which I thought went really well. The park looked great. All the speakers, including President Brooks, gave wonderful speeches. I thought it went smooth and things looked good. Other big thing, you know, just the day-to-day stuff with fields and turf has been a big challenge in the month of, you know, May, as the grass is growing as fast as it will all year long, and which isn't a bad thing. It's, you know, the time for the grass to establish and get healthy, but we're always trying to, you know, keep up with it, needing to supplement some of the contracted mowing sites with our own staff to make sure things are looking as good as we can. But as we get here into June, things will kind of slow down in growth and should have a better kind of grasp on making sure all the green spaces are looking their best. That's pretty much it for the projects that are, you know, going on right now or coming up imminently here, so.
When we had that graffiti, I assume that came out because we never heard about that again.
Yes, it did. Luckily, it was a water-based spray paint, so it came up with some pressure washing and gentle scrubbing. So the seagulls have been more of a headache than the graffiti has been, to be quite honest. But yeah, it came up.
But I do like Kyle's tenacity. Like he wasn't gonna accept something that was not up to our standards just to make a deadline. So. I 100% agree with this decision. I'm like, it doesn't matter if we close the pier for a couple more weeks. We want it done looking nice. So he's been working really hard to hold them to that standard. This is the first time they've ever done anything quite this big in this kind of element. So, needless to say, Kyle, in his short time here, has become an expert on wave action at the beach. He probably never thought he would do that, ever made that skill, but neither did I when I came here either. So,
it was a crash course for sure with Bobby and Matt Walker, they training me up on National Oceanographer, Oceanography website, and wind patterns and all that. So.
Yeah, you're watching for the winds because the waves will come this way. So, believe me, the contractors have no idea. They were going to come down the next day. He's like, yeah, you can't come. The waves are going to be, you know, 12 feet or whatever. And so he's done a great job on that very difficult project. So I can't wait to see the final thing.
Quick question, Kyle. Are the railings being painted in place?
Yeah,
like installed and then painted?
Yes. We are contracting with Certapro. They've done work on it before. They're professionals, so they know. I made it very clear that they have to lay down tarps to protect the areas, and they'll work in sections, you know, to not disrupt, you know, because the pier will be open at that point. So they'll work in sections, and they know full well to protect the.
And they're bonded and everything, so right. The waves won't carry them away, which is good. They'll be smart about that. Also, just a real quick, the park looked so nice for that Memorial Day celebration, which actually was very well done. It was really interesting, very touching. They highlight the lives each time of three Glencoe men, it's been men, who have perished in First and Second World War and then Vietnam. And they give the address where they lived and so forth. It's just really a nice, and then the Boy Scouts do their thing, and somebody from the high school sings the national anthem. It was really nice. I began the program. This was not, I don't know why, but I did begin the program, and I was introduced, I just will let you know, as president of the park district, which, okay, I'll take that. So anyway, it was a beautiful day and a really, really nice event that was very well attended. So, and the park looked fabulous, and I'm real, real glad that we did the new memorial, because there were some vets, older vets, that took advantage of the ramp. So, well done.
I'm glad to hear that. God, it's a very nice ceremony, so thank you. Just a reminder, our committee meeting has been changed from next week to June 14th, starting at 6:30, so that is our park tour. So we'll start the meeting, do an official roll call and everything like that, and then go on to the park bus, and we're going to ask everybody to wear masks on the park bus. And then if anybody from the public wants to come, we'll also have vans and the bus if it doesn't get too crowded, because we want to spread out, or they can follow in their own vehicle. If we do have to move into two separate vehicles, then we cannot have any talking on the bus ride, so just know that going into it. And we're developing the list. We're not going to do, for example, Lakefront Park or the beach, because we know that you guys go down there a lot. We're going to hit some other ones that aren't seen as much, so. And the ones that are up for future projects. So put that on your calendar. And I think, any other questions?
Can you tell us, I was surprised to see how much has been raised for WATS. Can you tell us, are those private donors, are they groups?
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up in our WATS thing, but yes, they're private donors. Actually, we talked to Bobby and Adam, took the big lift on this one, and they talked to some of the frequent flyers at WATS, and we had a couple gentlemen that took the lead calling, voluntarily took the lead and called people, and got those private donations.
So are there going to be any, like, is someone, like, are we going to have names for the players box, or?
No one asked. No one gave that big of a donation. We do have the ability. We have floated out the idea that that we would rename WATS if we had a donor that was big enough. So we're still looking. We're still open. They're still working on that. But no naming rights as of right now. But we will do a nice plaque with all those names on it.
Yeah, that's a really tough thing to do, Bobby. So. And yes, I know, but very much appreciated. I don't know if the community will understand what energy has to come out in order to get the funds coming in, but we appreciate it too, because as a board, that can sometimes, that duty can sometimes fall on our shoulders, and not having to do it, because you have a relationship with some of these people, it was a better role for you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice number.
Yeah. They found the right person that's not afraid to ask money from the public, and that really helps them.
Yep.
So. All right, anything else? Okay. We will go to then the approval of the Glencoe Beach Lakefront Advisory Group members.
Hang on, I got to get it. I'm missing something, so just one moment, please. By the way, there were some really interesting resumes and answers from that. I really enjoyed that. It's a good feeder system for commissioners.
Yeah, and we were able to take, we just chose to take everybody who applied. We want to appoint all 13 members because we like the diversity that the members and their answers brought to the table. And then there's a few returning also. So our recommendation was to do all 13.
I don't have this in the agenda now. Is that? Am I missing? I don't have it. It would be.
I have it on mine.
Okay.
I don't have it on mine either, Jenny. Exactly what to say.
So I just, could I allow? I mean, this is just reading. Could I allow Jenny or somebody else to just read it?
Yes, Jenny.
Okay. Yeah, I've got it right here. I don't know what happened there. I entertain a motion to approve all 13 Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Advisory Group applications as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Schneider?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
All right. The next one.
Sorry.
The motion passes. Thank you, Lisa. Should I move on to the next one, Lisa?
Yeah, because.
Okay. The next one is the approval of the WAC recreation renovation bid. We're requesting that we table this, and the reason is that the budget, the bids came in significantly over budget and over the cost estimates of the. Construction managers. We may be bringing back a couple items for approval next month, such as the boards, the rink, and the mechanicals, because those numbers came back very well. So we're asking a table because obviously there's been an escalation of everything in this country, and there's other factors that we think may or may not be in place, so it's kind of a gamble. One is that we bidded and had construction started relatively quickly afterwards, right in the summer season, when a lot of schools' projects are going on and they have to be submitted in a short time. So we think maybe our bidders, well, we got a satisfactory amount of bidders. We think they might have bid high because they would have to fit it into their project schedule. Number two, the gas prices can maybe have that escalated. A lot of that will have to come into Glencoe. Number three, materials and supplies are the escalation costs, and we are hoping some of those, as the supply chain issues get resolved, will slow down. And the fourth reason is that we believe we won't receive any Cook County taxes for the second installment until now, December or January, which makes any escalation fees problematic for our cash flow. we budgeted originally, and this budget was developed before the pandemic, so you have to understand that. So we knew there would be some escalation. We did a construction budget of $4,450,000 for our construction budget. That does include design fees and construction management fees and stuff like that. The cost estimate was more around the 4.849 area, and it came in at 6.1 million. So that was about 1.3 over our budget before the pandemic, and our 1.7 over our budget, 1.3 over the cost estimate. So our recommendation is we have sent a letter to IDNR. Kyle had a great discussion with our grant writer, and she saw no issue about doing a delay. So we sent our official letter in last week, outlining all the different circumstances, and especially the Cook County tax one is something very unusual. We believe we'll be granted an extension for another year for our grant because we have to finish the project in its entirety right now by next November, correct? 2023. So this would delay us for if we got another year, we could finish it a year later. So we would go actually out to bid again in like December, January timeframe. So hopefully that we'll get in early so people can line up their work. It's not like we're trying to get in and then we'll start construction in March. Hopefully having the majority of, a lot of those things done before we get into summer. We think that may help us. So we're taking a gamble, but I don't think it can get any higher. So that's our recommendation to table that and circle back around with our construction manager and architects. There may be a little bit additional architectural fees or construction management fees, but it won't be substantial with this delay. But I think it's the most prudent thing to do.
So you said that you might come to us with other repairs. Is that because if it's delayed, those items aren't going to last?
Oh, not repairs. So in this project scope, regardless, we had the boards, the boards in the ice rink, and some mechanicals. And because those bid prices came in, relatively within budget, it would be prudent for us to do that now instead of take a chance that those will escalate. So we are very happy with those bids. And so we could get those done before we open for the rink season. And then when we start in March, it will just be the inside of the building. And the players' boxes and everything would wait again until we get rebid. It would just be the boards and some mechanicals.
What's the deadline for having to spend the funds again?
So it was November 2023, or November 2022. We're asking for extension for November
2023.
2024.
2023 is the
current.
Yeah. So it was 23, you're asking for 24.
Yeah.
And when will you hear that decision? Did they give you a time frame?
So we sent the letter late last week.
Thursday.
But in the initial discussion, it sounded like it should be something that they can accommodate. We sent the letter, and we'll wait for an official response.
And I've talked to other park districts, and they've had these delays granted because of the circumstances. So I don't think it'll be issued at all.
I presume this is common with the pandemic causing
this. I think it is. I think we're seeing great escalation costs, and the timing might have played into it also.
Yeah.
And so the construction managers weren't upset with the amount of bidders. They actually liked the amount of bidders we got. I just thought the bidders were high. So,
Carol?
Oh, I was just going to say I've had a number of discussions with people in the public finance industry, which I'm in, bankers working on these projects, and I keep hearing over and over again about delays or downsizing of projects. This seems to be very common right now.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also look at the projects to see if there's things we can value engineer. We are pretty lean anyway. I mean, we do have certain specifications like the flooring we have in the whole building, is a higher cost, but we know we have stays on it all day, so we have to pay that. You know, there's not, there's some mill work, but we take down that mill work and then it doesn't really look like we did anything. So we're, they're over there looking at it, but I don't, you know, there'll be a few $100,000, maybe $100,000, $200,000 that we can reduce, but not enough to need it. So. I like our commissioner in training. I'm glad you're starting them young. Y'all ready to go in 20 years?
You, darling.
Oh,
look, a new face.
Hello.
Maddie.
Any other questions on that?
We're disappointed, but I think it's the way to go, so.
Yeah. The next one is approval of the GJK agreement. Bobby, could you just touch really quickly on the major changes in this this agreement?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no change to the percentage of revenue split. The change comes there going down from two offices down to one office, which we will use for one of our coordinators. And then they're going to be changing rooms from the PI room in Till Circle to a room in our enrichment wing, which is not licensed, and some storage room changes too. So gives us the flexibility to do some great things down there in the future, and some maybe potentially space for some inclusion support, some space for teachers, communal area, which works really well. So it's a really great move for us. I think GJK is on board with it, so it's great.
We thought those changes were more important than doing an increase in the rate. So this is a 3-year agreement. And then, but we did make clear that after this 3 years that we will be looking for a percentage increase moving forward. After 3 years, we hope that everything with the pandemic and actual costs will be out by then, and we won't have that as an issue.
Yeah, it sounded to me, I sat in on the meeting, it sounded to me like they were, as if they were very aligned with the changes, that they perceived it as being somewhat beneficial to them as well, that room for the speech therapy that you would allow them to use as well, those sorts of things. So, and then her ability to see through the window into the other room. I thought it was like the easiest, most, the smoothest contract negotiation ever. It was lovely.
It was, really was.
Well done. Well done preparing what you wanted. So.
Lisa was part of the very first one with me, right when she got on the board. That was not, Stephanie was doing, she's smiling. That was not as easy, so we've come a long way. He's the case.
Yep.
All right, Jenny, can you read that motion, please?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve the GJK agreement as presented.
All moved.
Second.
Yes, Stephanie and Carol. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
And Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
I shook some things off and I did it in a different order.
You're all right. I wonder why I wasn't second.
Because Jenny is so good that she didn't assume that Lisa would be president, so she put it on the bottom and I was like, oh, wow, look at that. Okay. All right. Other business? I have no other business at this time. Does any more have anything?
Okay, don't. I'm just a messenger, so don't think that I'm complaining about this. This is a weird thing. But three people texted me and asked me why the beach smells. So again, don't take this off of me. And I said, I have no idea, but I will ask at the meeting. So I'm asking.
Why does the beach smell?
We think it's kind of a red tide that's washing up on the south side of the pier. It's definitely an odor.
Not is it fishy?
It definitely is a little
bit. Yeah, so, I felt that too last week, yeah.
Yeah, so it's happening pretty bad up north in Wisconsin too, from what I understand. I think the first northeast day will wash a lot of that out, but it's not something that we can have much control over.
So it's not us who is talking.
No, it's not the porta potties. It's not a pipe. So it'd be great. It'd be helpful if you can kind of spread the word on that it is.
I'll reply to the text chain.
Yeah.
go.
I do want to have, if you guys, I could give you a project to work on before our parks tour. If you're down in Lakefront Park, we had, I know there's constant communication from residents about where the porta potty was located in the park. So, and I agreed with them. When you walked up to the park, the first thing you saw when you did the path was the big porta, big porta potties there. And so my favorite topic of all, Kyle, Bobby, and I spent an hour in the park looking at possible locations that wouldn't, be the first thing you see. So we moved it it's really like tucked into tree-lined bushes on the other side of the tennis court. So when you walk up down the sidewalk, it's not the first thing you see, but if you're in the park, you still can kind of see it. So if you could go take a look at it, the one biggest drawback is that it's not ADA accessible, so you have to go through the grass to get it. But we do have ADA accessible bathrooms down at the beach. And if you recall, we didn't even have porta potties in the park prior to the pandemic, but once you put something there, people like it and they use it. And I had, when we were out there, I had residents come up and say, oh my gosh, saw us talking about porta potties, and like, people really use these, and I hope you don't take them away. She wasn't right next to the park, she was on the other corner. So we kind of said, hey, we're thinking about putting here, what do you think? Oh, that's a good idea. So just so you know, if you can go look at that, if we need to put more screening up, like, kind of a cedar fence or something, we can do that, but we're not doing that right now. We want to see how this placement works. So we'll bring it up, we'll show you. So if you take a look and see what you guys think. If that's a good location, then people could still see it, and we'll get some feedback, I'm sure, from the neighbors also.
The trucks can empty it even though it's that far from the road? They have a big long...
They just need 20 feet from where their truck is, so as long as it's not far off of that. I think some companies are different, but the one we're using just needs 20 feet to get a hose in, and they can do it.
Good.
Our biggest worry is that when they come to clean it, there'll be cars parked in the spot. So that's kind of our worry, so we're going to have to watch that to make sure that they still have access. If they get there earlier enough in the morning to clean it, they shouldn't have a problem, so we'll watch that as well.
The alternative is, sorry, Bert.
Yeah, will the porta potties be there year-round, or it's just sort of spring and summer thing?
Yeah, we just bring them in the spring and take them away in the fall.
Okay.
We do keep porta potties. I believe we keep porta potties down by the beach, down below the bluff. Because we know we have a lot more picnickers. We have, and we don't. Before, people would go down and use the bathroom, but now that we don't let only season pass holders come in during the weekend, we knew we had to have a bathroom up top. So we did also only put one, and we used to have two. We put one, and we'll just get it cleaned more often. So
that sounds good.
Friday and Monday or something like that. So
yeah, you're going to get people that complain if you don't have it, and people that complain if you do, but the alternative is people are just going to go in the bushes. So.
Right, which we know. We knew that happens at Duke Park,
yeah.
So hopefully it's not the first thing you see. We thought about moving on the other side of the path at the same location, but the other side of the path, right by the tennis courts, but there's access points to get to the Water Village's water tank. There's a lot of utilities, so that was not a viable option. So,
before I send this text on the water, because they're going to ask me questions, it's not that cheery yet. Like, it doesn't have text swimming in it, because I know they're going to ask me that.
Well, we test the water on a daily basis, so yeah, it's not. It's actually up on the shore on the south side.
So no swimming dangers, unless we close it for that kind of area.
The direction of the wind was from the south, so the last couple of days it was really windy, so it traveled pretty far.
Okay, thank you.
And there's nothing we can do about the rocks, if they ask that. Next question, I'm just going to put it
out. I'm sure they will.
that gotten that question. It'd be nice if the park district could make the water warmer too, but
yeah. You're really rocks, but rock down sand, all that kind
of stuff. Eat the lake, yeah.
Eat the lake. Someone asked me, you're laughing, but someone asked me to send me an email once. can't you heat up the lake faster? And I'm like, I thought I was being punked for a while, but they were really serious. Like, is this one of the commissioners just trying to see what I'm going to respond to this?
Well, now you're giving us ideas.
I know. I really shouldn't have said that. You know, now you know you can mess with me.
Can I move to a more depressing subject for a moment?
Sure.
Have you thought about updating anything given the recent uptick in violence at our schools?
That's a hard one. We actually, when we talked to about staff training, we're touching on that. Because we're a community center open all the time, it really does put us at greater risk. Our child care center obviously is locked down. That's a totally different thing. But camp, the beach, we just continually train on what to do if should something happen. And unfortunately, most of the training is run away from the site as fast as you can. So that's kind of what we teach our staff and we teach the kids. And sad that you have to teach kids this, but if there was a camp situation, they're outside, the staff is instructed to yell to the kids to run as fast and as far away as they can. That's what our public safety officers tell us to do, and that's what the security experts do. So
Do we have phones in each classroom, or do we have buttons in each classroom in case of emergencies or things like that?
There is phones in each classroom, yes. Yeah, and the front desk, you know.
The glass door in front, unless you've got a keypad to the other doors, right?
Correct.
We are doing training with staff later this summer. And then we actually have just reached out to kind of with GJK. We're supposed to do a walkthrough before camp starts probably next week. And actually public safety, they invited public safety just to kind of walk through the facility, make sure there's nothing we're missing. Is there something that's constantly getting left open? So that's kind of part of our general facility walkthrough. Myself, Adam, and Kyle do that on a monthly basis as well. So this time public safety will be joining us.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, we put a whole bunch of new recommended safety measures in some of the classrooms in the early childhood area, especially things that we didn't think of, and they advised us to change those, so we did all that. But there's always things we can learn, and we'll always bring them in. So,
I'm sorry, scary. I would just love to add this one little thing. If we, with District 35 as well, to see if there are lessons that we can learn to make sure that we're doing as much as we can. So, and I know it's hard, and I appreciate it, and I think the fact that we get the next place, but we're working.
Yeah, it is. And we'll also look at, there's also private security firms we can do separate audits also that we'll look into also, and training.
Appropriate to bring it up.
It is. When we did our all staff, we talked about see something, say something is our major push, and just like the school district, because I think half the time people won't say something. So we instruct our staff that they see something that doesn't look right, to don't worry about anything, just tell us and we'll investigate it. So
yeah.
And our staff has been really good about doing that in the past. If they see someone hanging around the playground too much, if they, you know, walking into classes, or they hear anything on social media, we've just said, let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
Cool.
Yeah, one thing, there's a reference to the community impact report, and it says the link is here, but there's no link. So when you get the link, I'd love to get the link and read it.
Oh, okay. Jenny, can you make a note of that? You might have to ask Erin when she gets back from vacation. Yeah, and I also have hard copies for all of you, so I might be dropping those off tomorrow or the next day, so look for that package. It's more for us up on in the I have them, so don't bother. I have mine. Okay, good.
We also have shirts for you. We have our summer staff shirt that looks, I sent pictures of it in the Friday update, but it's really nice. I need you all to email me your t-shirt size. It's unisex, so just let me know what t-shirt size you are, and I'll drop those off also.
Any with extra large bicep muscles?
We also have another color. We have staff colors you guys will all get. And then we also have another color that we're actually selling as a fundraiser for our beach safe program. So we think those will be very popular also. So
you're doing a fundraiser for the beach safe?
Yeah, this t-shirt sale is we're trying to raise money for that. And then we're also looking at going to the rotaries around the area and things like that. So anything else? Get that. All right.
Okay, very good. So, if there is nothing more, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Carol and Bart.
Give that one to Carol. Bart, how about you for a second?
Second.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going into closed session?
We do not have to go right now. I have no update for that now.
So roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
And Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
Motion passes. Meeting adjourned.